Scripture, this idea of God really meeting with his people, feasting with them, really. And the scene I want to present to you today, I just want you to get in your mind this scene of beauty and wonder and grace that Scripture gives to us. It's this scene of the King of heaven and earth. The King of heaven and earth throwing a banquet for his son, in honor of his son. And that his son is the guest of honor, and all who come are invited guests. And it's this giant feast in honor of Jesus. And we look, and this king has prepared the table for all of us. And the son has taken his place at the head of the table. And then we look around, and you and I are invited guests to this very, very special feast. We get to sit there. We get to dine with the king and his son. We get to experience that fellowship and that joy at that table. And we look around at that table and we see other men and women and boys and girls all at that table. Everyone especially chosen by the king to be present there. Invited there. And you and I get to sit in that company. And the son smiles from the head of the table and he receives us as his guests. And he honors us by calling us his friends. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Is it, church? I mean, can you imagine what it would be like to eat with the King of Glory? To eat at his table at that moment, in that time. If you were going to go there, how would you prepare yourself? Would it be just a come-as-you-are banquet? Is that how it would work out? Just, you know, kind of like a buffet, just kind of stroll in? How would you prepare yourself? I mean, we know how to prepare ourselves for special events here on earth. How are we to prepare ourselves for this banquet? You know, that's really the question before us today. Because when we come to the Lord's table, there are certain things that God expects of us. And it would be wrong of us not to recognize that, that this is a special meal and that banquet is a special banquet. And these are things that we do, not because they're magical, not because there's some kind of wizardry that happens up here, but because it is a symbol of something very real and a coming event and a past action by Jesus that comes together in this moment as we gather together and we come in awe and wonder. If I were to be invited to that table in that time and in that place, I would probably want to dress with my best, right? I would not just show up. I would find a way to make myself presentable. I would have my best manners, wouldn't I? I would want to, and no matter how I felt about others around the table, I would be very careful about my conversations with them, wouldn't I? Because they're not my guests, they're his. And it would be difficult for me to try to place myself in any relationship to them that he hasn't placed himself and placed us. My disposition would want to reflect the joy of the occasion, wouldn't it? I wouldn't want to dampen that celebration by my own issues. I'd want to be ready. I would want to reflect the joy that I would have at it even being invited to that table. And I would want to give honor to the one who invited me. And so the Lord's Supper that we celebrate this morning is a symbol of that feast. It's an indicator. It's a precursor to what we're going to enjoy with him. The Bible talks about the word is koinonia. How many of you have heard that word before? You know, it has a very specific meaning in Greek. It talks about partnership. It talks about participation in. Fellowship is another word that is often used. But it also, you know, I want to speak adult here. It also means intercourse. Isn't that interesting? That same word. It means many becoming one. It means a joining together of people in a very particular way. So that we would be God's company. His invited assembly. We would experience this partnership and participation with him in his purposes and his intentions that we would have this joyful celebration and this wonderful moment. You know, gatherings aren't the same unless everybody's there. You know that, right? You've all had those family gatherings where one of the people that you really wanted to see couldn't be there. You remember what it was like, and it was different. You know, the company changes with who's present. And if people are missing, we miss out. It isn't the same anymore. We all know those times when we pulled away from our families or we pulled away, you know, and it just wasn't the same. It wasn't the same for them, and it wasn't the same for us. When we talk about the bread, we say there because there is one bread, we who are many are what? One body. Let's say that together. One body. Turn to your neighbor and say, one body. One body. You know, we're together in this. The Lord's Supper is kind of the new, you know, celebration of this. But eating and drinking in the presence of God isn't a new thing for humankind. All the way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus, you see this account in chapter 24. After the Israelites have gotten the Ten Commandments, after Moses has come down from the mountain, he's had this conversation with God. They've received the Ten Commandments, and God's sharing with them, hey, look, if we're going to do this, here's how we have to do it. Just for your own protection, if you're going to come near to me, you're going to have to take care of a few things. I don't want you to be hurt because of who I am. And so he begins to explain that to them in all the commandments and the covenants. And then he invites the elders. He invites Moses and his right-hand man and others. And he invites the 70 elders of Israel to come up in the mountain. And there they feast on the mountain. And God is present in that feast. Could you imagine being there at that moment, in that time on Mount Sinai, up in the mountain, eating a meal with God at the table? That's what the scriptures describe for us. Now, did God sit down and, you know, I don't know that he did. They ate in his presence while he shepherded over them and shared with them his intention for who they would be. They would be his chosen people, his special possession. And that's a precious meal, isn't it? To begin to say, this is, you know, it's kind of like that time we get, this is our family. And that's the scripture, you know, this idea of eating in the presence of God. And then we come forward and we see, you know, the Lord's Supper is instituted in the Gospels, right? Jesus is there and he's showing and revealing in that meal and eating in Jesus' presence. Those disciples are given information that is very precious to them. He's setting the stage for what is going to happen next in his life. And what would be happening at Calvary, that as he shed his blood, that as they celebrate, they would be receiving a gift in the shedding of his blood. And he was setting that stage and setting the context and sharing with them in a very poignant and visceral way the truth that was going to be occurring for all of humankind. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood poured out for you. Remember this. Remember me. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? To eat that meal, those people right at that moment in time, eating with their Lord. They didn't even understand all of it yet, but they soon would. And then we go forward in Scripture to what we haven't yet seen, this marriage feast of the Lamb in the book of Revelations, and it's kind of that picture that we've already talked about, this huge feast offered by God for his son, the supper of the Lamb in Revelations chapter 19. This idea that God would finally bring to culmination his work of history, his whole purpose in creation, to bring about people that would understand how to love him and that he could love, and that they could experience that love in community and fellowship around the table together forever. It's a wonderful hope that we have. So from Genesis to Revelation, people eating in the presence of God, knowing that God is there. He promised that where two or more gathered in his name, there he would be. That wherever any of us met, we would meet in the presence of God. That wherever we were, that would be holy ground for all of us. That moment, that spot would be marked by the Creator of all the universe being present with you and I. That's amazing, isn't it, church? It's what we do every time we get together. That's why it's so hard when I come to church and somehow in my head it becomes all about me, right? What I want, what I need. I forget what's happening there. I forget who I'm meeting with sometimes. And so we're going to talk just very briefly about this meal. And we've talked, I think, almost enough about what's about to happen here together. But I think it's something we should go back to over and over again. We're meeting with our King when we come to this table. We're having a meal in His presence. And number one, the King decides who's invited to His table. You and I don't get to decide, amen? Isn't that great? How many's happy that we don't get to decide? I'm not really that happy. I'd like to decide sometimes. But I think it's good for me to recognize that. I don't get to decide who belongs to Jesus. You don't get to decide who belongs to Jesus. We try to sometimes, don't we, church? We look at one another and we judge them and we say, well, this person doesn't do it like I do it, so I'm not sure they're welcome at the Lord's table. I don't know if they're going to be there someday. I know I'm going to be there. Don't we all know that, church? Isn't that how we always judge? For some reason, whatever criterion I use to judge others, I'm always on the right side of that criterion. Do you ever notice that? I mean, I know I do bad things, but they're not that bad. But those people, I don't know how God can tolerate them. You ever feel that way sometimes? Don't raise your hand. I think we've all been tempted by those thoughts upon occasion. But really ask ourselves, we're not at our own table. That's not our table awaiting this, it's His. And He gets to send out the invitations. We've all gone to those events where we weren't excited about all the other people that were attending them. Yes? No? We don't want to admit that because we're good Christian people and we love everybody, don't we? Isn't that what we're supposed to say? Yeah, we love everybody, but we've been to those places and we say, oh, is so-and-so going to be there? I don't know. I feel a little sick. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. But the reality is the King decides who's invited to His table. That's why we as Methodists have open communion. Any who earnestly repent of their sins, who seek to live in peace with Christ, gets to come to the table and participate in the grace of God with God's people. All who are called, all who feel that desire, who seek to turn away from who they were and embrace what God wants, who want to live in peace with others, they're welcome. Not because I make them welcome, not because you do, but because God has invited them. And who are we to turn away God's guests? The other thing is that because it's the King's feast, the King deserves honor. He deserves honor. We've kind of touched on this. Coming to the Lord's table, we're coming to someone who deserves the highest honor that we can give. The greatest gift that we could bestow. My dad's here today. I'm going to make Dad uncomfortable. I had a conversation, he may not remember this, when I was, you know, you get in those teenage years and you feel like you know a little more than you really know. And I didn't want to dress up for church, you know. I didn't want to, and even now this feels a little casual to me. You know, and I said, we don't have to do that, you know. God doesn't look at what we wear and He doesn't care what we're dressed as. And that's true, sure. And I said, there's nothing great about dressing up. And my dad looked at me and said, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with it either. You know, why are you, you know. And then I, as I grew older, I began to realize, you know, I would dress up for a date. I would dress up for the homecoming. I would dress up for a prom with a person that I loved. I would dress up for my wedding. Why wouldn't I want to be in my best? I don't mean to say that in any judgmental way for us here. Clearly, I'm not in a suit this morning. I don't have a tie on, but I think part of my preparation is to recognize that, am I meeting with the king or not? And what is God worth? Doesn't mean that we judge one another or that we judge one another. I think part of what we do, and so please don't mishear me. This is not the preacher saying we should all dress up for church. I think part of what we do and the reason we don't get too worried about those things is a good reason, because we're more concerned for the people that don't know Christ and in making them uncomfortable. And I fully support that, because this isn't quite the feast of end times yet. But I also recognize that there should be some intentionality about how I approach God. There should be an intentionality of who I'm going to see and who I'm going to meet. This isn't a routine. This isn't a ritual that is dead, but this is a living participation in the koinonia of faith. The many becoming one in the name of Christ. We're all the assembled guests of the King of Kings. And so as I come to worship and as I come to his table, I come intentionally. And because the king deserves honor, there are things that we ought to do. Not to examine our clothing. That's superficial, and we're right to discard that in many ways. Clothing isn't really the important thing at all in coming to the Lord's table, but let's talk about what is. First of all, because the king deserves honor, I need to examine myself as I come to him. What is going on in me? What is in me? Why do I come? Examine my motives. What is my frame of mind? What is my attitude? Do I trust Christ in my life? Do I live in a way that shows that trust and reveals that participation with him? Am I living obediently to him? Where am I in my life with Christ? As I come to his table, I need to ask these questions. Where am I with God right now? Is God and my relationship with him just the same old? Am I taking him for granted? Am I just doing what I want to do and then asking God to bless it? Or am I seeking him and honestly hoping that he might give me guidance and direction? And then as I receive it, am I following him? I have to examine, and when I discover those things where I have deviated from Christ's plan and his hope for my life, where I have overstepped some boundaries, the second thing I want to do is I want to confess to him, to acknowledge where I really am in my life, how I'm living. If I've taken him for granted, I need to own up to that. Just like I would with any human person, just like I would with Julie. I'm sorry, I'm taking you for granted, and you don't deserve that. And I say I love you, and you need to know that by how I live. And I say those things to Julie, and I say those things to Christ. You need to know, God, that I love you by the way I live with you, by the way I honor you, by the way I honor others in your presence. I haven't been doing that. I haven't been revealing a love for you. I've been revealing just a selfishness, really, or even sometimes, honestly, Lord, an indifference to you. That I say I don't feel, I say I love you, but my life is rather just kind of going along. And if that's true, then I need to talk to him about that. You and I, we need to feel free to come to Christ in confession. There's no condemnation in him. He already knows that. He's looking for that moment. He's sitting there waiting for us to have that conversation so that things can be right again. So that when we get to that table, there's no awkwardness. You've ever had those awkward conversations where, you know, you're not sure how to talk to somebody because there's been a rift? You know, and you're not, sometimes we play one way, we try to pretend like it never happened. Have you ever done that, church? It's kind of like, oh, hey, how you doing? You know, like, oh, yeah, you know, you've just kind of, let's see if this will just settle down, you know. But you know that doesn't really work, because that unease, we push it down, but it's still there, isn't it? It doesn't go away. Sometimes we have a confrontation, and we, I can't believe, you know, and I don't know if that's the best way either, but still, you know, God, I think, prefers more this honesty. And rather than the pretense or the indifference, let's get right with him. That's confession. There's no condemnation. Jesus says, come to me now before it's too late. The scriptures say if we come to the Lord's table and we have something against other people, if we don't make that right, we have his judgment on us. We're going to feel the weight of that conviction until it's careful. And then, of course, the third thing is to surrender then. To come to the table and surrender. I'm yours. I'm here because you invited me. I didn't make you my God. You made me your possession. And I responded in faith to you. I didn't come to you. You reached out to me, Lord. And I'm so thankful, and please receive me again. And as we come to the table and surrender, then we express gratitude. Thanksgiving. That's the final thing, gratitude. This is the kind of ways that we honor God at his table. We examine ourselves. We confess the truth of our lives before him and the truth of our relationship to ourselves. We surrender ourselves anew to him and then give thanks and thanksgiving. And that's why if you'll recognize all these parts of our life together. If you turn to page 12, there's a reason that our Methodist liturgy is written in the way that it is. You'll see all these things, all these parts as part of this. So if you turn with me there, we're going to participate in the full liturgy of the Lord's Supper this morning. On page 12, the service of word and table, number 2. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. See, there's the invitation to the feast. So therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray together. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, if you would stand and greet one another in the love of Christ, just turn to your direct neighbor and say, the peace of Christ be with you. Now we're going to join together in gratitude with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, the bread of heaven. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And the cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. I'd like to have the ushers come forward as we receive communion together. Thank you.